Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. And you did hear me talking briefly there. Luckily, it was just at the right moment just after the series of libelous statements I'd made about a series of well-known people to David Carey. We like to talk about our showbiz chums when he comes in. David, good afternoon to you. Welcome back.
Thank you and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you too. I hope you had a nice time.
I did.
Over the break.
I did.
Right, here's your first question, and it is this. I'm writing on behalf of my sister and her three daughters, aged 11, 5 and 2. She separated from her husband 2.5 years ago. It was a very sudden separation and a huge shock to my sister and her girls. Just a few weeks after the third baby was born. Since then, he's been in and out of their lives sporadically. She's worried about how his behaviour is impacting the children. She's always been very open to him seeing the kids and has brought them to him whenever he asks. The problem is that he seems to be living somewhat of a chaotic lifestyle and is refusing to see the kids regularly. He promised to take them on holidays at the start of the summer holidays, but this never materialised. He then didn't contact them for 5 months. When he did get in touch again in early December, he saw them for a few hours for 2 Saturdays in a row and again hasn't been in touch over Christmas and to date. This is the pattern since the separation. He makes promises, doesn't keep them. The kids have been waiting for him at the door on countless occasions. He just doesn't bother to show up. He makes excuses, which are obviously lies. Each time he bails on them, they are brokenhearted and upset for days afterwards. My sister has tried mediation with him twice to no avail. She has tried not telling the kids when he's supposed to be seeing them in case he doesn't show up. The problem is he texts the oldest child to make arrangements with her. She has tried talking to him and he promises he will change, but things remain the same. She is wondering how to handle the situation. He just seems uninterested and not bothered that he upsets him so much with his behaviour. Should she just cut him out completely to spare the kids continuing disappointments and heartache? She really can't bear to see them so hurt and upset. She also doesn't want them growing up thinking that this behaviour from a man is acceptable. She's arranged for them to have counselling and play therapy.
Well, there's a lot in here, isn't there? It's very complicated. First question, not related to the issues at stake, is why does an 11-year-old have a phone? So that's something that ought to be looked at, although it's probably too late now to do anything about it, because now dad can text her whenever he wants, and there's nothing you can do about it except get a new SIM.
And change the number.
Yeah, that will change the number. Now, she's separated. Is this a legal separation? They've been through mediation. Mediation is useless unless both parties will stick to the agreements. Mm. So there's no point in going back to mediation a third time here. If she's legally separated, is there a court-ordered access plan? If there is, mom must follow it. Courts don't like it when you don't follow the access plan. If there is not, she's under no obligation to allow the father to see the children whatsoever.
Mm.
And so she can terminate that contact and let him know very firmly and succinctly, once you are able to step up to the plate and become a father in practice as opposed to biology, you'll get to see your children again. That puts the ball in his court. He can, of course, take her into court.
Yeah.
Can't he?
Yeah.
And if he does, then an access plan will either be agreed by both parties or ordered by the court, and it must be followed.
Mm.
So you're into a round robin here. I'm wondering why mother herself hasn't raised the issue with me. Why is it sister doing this? Children will utterly disappointed in situations like this and heartbroken, of course. We can only try to protect them insofar as is possible under the law and under the restrictions placed upon us, sometimes by courts. So I don't have all the information to offer much more advice than that. All things being equal, if there is no court order agreement, then I would suggest going down the road of letting father know, hey, be a man. Be a father, step up to the plate here, do the right thing, and I'm going to give you 2 or 3 weeks to show some consistency here, see how it goes. After that, it's goodbye, Charlie, and see what he wants to do about it.
Yeah. I wonder, is there something else going on? Given just what she describes here, that the father just suddenly decided to separate just after a child was born and he's been chaotic ever since. Is there something else going on with him?
Well, one wonders about that. Now, are there some kind of substance abuse issues? Did he find another lady or partner? and was this simmering for a long time and completely coincidental to the arrival of the next child? Who knows?
Yeah.
The fact is that he's not acting like a father. He's not being responsible and assuming his parental duties. Perhaps it's difficult for him under the situation as well. But you have to do the right thing for the children. The children come first, not second. And so I think it will behoove mother to move this forward at this point.
Yeah. So, you know, basically we're looking at the lesser of two evils is to just cut off contact if he doesn't demonstrate a willingness to be consistent with
that him. Is the lesser of the two evils, because this kind of inconsistency, and in fact it's fairly egregious, no contact over Christmas.
Yeah. God.
Now that's bad. Mm. The whole situation is bad, but that's the baddest of the bad. And one can only imagine the children being utterly confused about all of this. Mother, of course, anxious and upset, and the children are no doubt picking up on that. I really think the best thing to do, if you're able to do it, that is, meaning no court-ordered access, then let him know you're going to terminate the visitation until he does the right thing. Give him 2 weeks, give him a month to prove himself. If it continues, you have to stop it. Let him do what's necessary after that. If it's moved back into court, the courts will decide an access plan. They're not going to eliminate his parental rights. That hardly ever happens.
It doesn't sound like he's got it together enough to actually organize something like that.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's much else that can be done in a situation. Is it harmful to the children? Yes, of course. Will they be irreparably damaged throughout their lifespan by it? Hopefully not. It will leave scars.
Yeah.
But we all grow up with scars and wounds, and most of us learn eventually to overcome the worst of them. So that's a hopeful outlook for the children. But this situation must come to an end soon. It's not healthy for young children to live like this, and it's not healthy for the mom.
Yeah.
And now we've got sister writing in, raising the issue.
Yeah.
So the whole extended family is getting upset.
I imagine mom's head is melted with all this stuff.
I can only but imagine.
Because it must be difficult to decide what's, because he's their father at the same time.
Exactly.
And to make that decision of cutting him out is a tough one.
Yeah, and this is kind of the stereotypical situation where the father is a negligent parent, but it can be the other way around.
Yeah.
And I've run into plenty of those, too.
Yeah.
Where in a separation, sometimes father may have custody or not, and the mother refuses, for whatever reason, to allow visitations, even though the father's very eager and willing to do that. So it can work on both sides. Let's not just paint a nasty picture of fathers in general.
Absolutely not. My three-year-old loves to be naked and will strip at any possibility and run free. She only does this at home, has a great time for herself. Should I try and stop her or let her roam? Is it any harm?
Oh, Barry, let her roam, Dad, for heaven's sakes. What's the problem here?
Yeah.
3 years of age, loves to be naked. We should all live like that.
Yeah,
if
Grant,
we could, you know,
just make sure she doesn't catch cold. That's about it.
Well, that's about all you can do, and that she knows that we don't take our clothes off in public. This is a private thing. We can do it in the house. No problem at all. I see nothing to be concerned about here.
My father passed away 3 months ago, and our 8-year-old daughter is still very upset. She was very close to her granddad, and they would do a lot together. He went downhill after a fall, and he passed away very quickly. There wasn't real time for her to understand what was happening. She has now become very introverted. We've tried reading children's book to her about death, and still talk to her about her granddad a lot. How do we get back the fun-loving girl that she was? We miss her.
Well, you're going to have to let this take time. 3 months isn't a long time at all.
Mm.
Typically, we look at a six-month period before we even begin to think that there's some sort of pathological bereavement process in place. So mightn't be a bad idea to ask her to write a letter to Granddad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tell him how much she loved him and how much she misses him. That can be very therapeutic. You've done the right thing by reading the books with her. I would suggest you kind of go easy on that from now on, because you can hammer in a little bit too much of the old bereavement literature there, although bibliotherapy is very helpful for children and adults. So let's take it easy. Let's see how she responds. Is Granddad in a grave, or is he in an urn in the crematorium or something? Is she allowed to visit?
Yeah.
Which can be a very healthy thing, maybe upsetting to her, but she could visit and maybe speak a few words with Grandpa in private, just leave her there at a distance. Writing a letter can be very helpful. My prediction is she'll get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just grieving.
She's grieving. And in 3 months, particularly in the case of a beloved relative with whom the child was very close, who dies quite suddenly. Yeah. And there's no opportunity to go through the preliminaries of bereavement and to help an 8-year-old brain understand all that's being dealt with. Do you have any faith beliefs in particular? I would wonder about, can she make some evening prayers to Grandpa, et cetera? You know, operate from the faith within you. Trust your child's mind and spirit that she will overcome her grief and learn to live with a loving memory of a beloved relative. And I think we all know that 30, 40 years later, we can still cry for our loved ones who have gone before us when we think about them.
Yeah,
and that's healthy.
And it's a healthy thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed it is. Antoinette was texting in as well, just referring back to the one of the previous questions we had. She says, having been through a similar process and having received legal advice, you can't legally make a person see their kids. I too have gone through long periods of time with no contact, including birthdays and Christmas. Kids are teenagers now and they no longer look for him. Which is,
yeah, that's usually what happens.
That's what happens. It's still a heartbreaking thing
to
consider. Anyway, we have to take a break. More questions for David after this. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Or you could all sit with your hands over your ears so David can finish the story he was telling me. But maybe we'll do that at the next commercial break. On the subject of separated parents, we did get that very poignant question in about a separated couple, but dad is being a bit erratic in terms of seeing the children. David is dead right. The daughters replace the daughter's SIM card and give him the month. No change, cut him off. Leave the door open to allow access again if he can be consistent in the future. Says one texter on the subject of the little girl whose granddad passed away. I so feel for the little girl who lost her grandfather. I'm 46. I lost my grandpa when I was 18. I can't think about him without bursting into tears. I'm still brokenhearted. I think it depends on how sudden it is. That may be. Oh, plus, also, you know, one assumes the level of the relationship one had before that. Anyway, next question is this. We have a 2.5-year-old daughter and she still likes to be fed in the mornings by me, even though she can hold her spoons and fork perfectly fine and feed herself. My husband goes crazy when I feed her and he refuses to do it. Our daughter goes berserk when I don't feed her and then doesn't eat at all if she's left to feed herself. Her not eating is not okay with me. I also see feeding her as a quick solution to getting out of the house in a timely fashion. I don't see what the big deal is like my husband does. Am I wrong?
Am I wrong? Difficult question to definitively answer. She's 2.5. Should you still be feeding her? Well, developmentally speaking, no.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
Because she's well able to do it herself. Now your husband is starting to go ballistic over the whole thing, so he needs a bit of a chill pill here and just kind of relax a little because this is the lay of the land. I have a suggestion, and it's an odd suggestion, but my hunch is telling me it's going to work. Whilst you're feeding her, make sure you spill food on her chin and on her face from time to time.
Mm.
It will probably be distressing. And she'll probably want you to stop doing that, and then you give her the spoon or the fork and see how she handles it herself.
All right, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, some parents don't want to do such a thing, and maybe somebody will write in and say that's cruel and horrible. There was some very interesting research done in a nursing home many, many years ago in America, in which they were studying the effect of institutional regression amongst able older adults who were living in supervised living and needed some care. And they noticed that very quickly after entering the institution, they began not to feed themselves where previously had been able to feed themselves. So one of the psychologists suggested, you know what you do when you're giving them their soup, make sure you spill some down their chin. on a fairly regular basis. And lo and behold, because they monitored this, it was a really good control, experimental control group situation. The ones that had the soup spilled down their chin and whatnot very quickly began feeding themselves again.
How
because
interesting.
They just didn't like the fact that the carer was spilling food all over them, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how our listening public feels about my suggestion, but I want Dad to calm down. Getting all upset about this is not going to solve the problem.
And I totally see the logic of in the morning, you want to get them fed and get out the door.
This is a big
time's
problem.
Of the essence.
The busy lives we're leading lead us to sometimes do the things we shouldn't be doing because you got to get to work. And how can you do it if you have a recalcitrant child who is insisting on being fed? Now, Mom doesn't want to see her not eat. This is another problem. Mom, if you don't feed her, she'll eventually start eating again. Her body will take over. She's not going to starve to death.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So some short-term discomfort for Mom may solve the problem. Let's just look at this a little bit playfully and not make a big deal out of it. It is a life-threatening situation, so... I don't know what people think of my crazy suggestion.
Because, you know, my two-year-old... she does feed herself. Now, she's a bit messy.
Yeah.
But even at that, she doesn't like getting her hands dirty.
Yeah.
And she'll hold the hands up and say, clean my hands.
Even though half
the time she picks up the food with her hands. So she's already along that scale
of
not wanting to mess on herself. So, yeah, I could see how there'd be something in that. My four-year-old is obsessed with his penis. Like, seriously obsessed. He always has his hands down his pants, and when he's not touching it, he's talking about it, asking Daddy about his, talking about the dog's one. He's relentless. Is this normal? What in God's name do I do? His poor grandmother got the brunt of it last week. I didn't know what to say to him.
Oh, my God. Well, we're chuckling away here. So
the start of a lifelong love affair. Really.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, I was thinking that myself. I mean, many adult men have the same fascination, you know? There's a lot of jokes embedded in this, but we're not going to tell them.
Yes.
Simple solution, no elasticated waistbands. I may have mentioned this before in reference to a young adolescents on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum, who will often start to masturbate. A belt cinched reasonably tight. You know, we don't want to strangulate the poor young fella here. It makes it much more difficult for him to put his hands down his pants.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this. He's discovered a wonderful new toy, and guess what, Mom? You know, when he's get to be 13 or 14, you're going to have more of the same again.
Mm.
And you just simply talk. Now at 4.5, you can say, this is a private thing. This is for private time when you're up in your room by yourself. We don't do it in public. We don't do it in the living room when other family members are around. Without making a big deal out of it, let's not say it's naughty, dirty, or any of those horrible things that give children bad ideas about their bodies.
Mm.
Try distraction. In other words, let's play catch whenever this is happening. And, you know, distraction works a lot at this age group. So don't be all upset about it. It's not pathological.
Yeah. But probably, all children go through some sort of phase of going, whoa, look what I've got.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, reasonable. Right. Our 8-year-old son is scared of being left alone. I don't know what exactly scares him, but during the day, if I pop out to collect the washing from the shed or get coal, he comes running out to see where I'm gone. At night, he comes into our room 4 or 5 times a night, touches my foot or arm to see if I'm still there, and then goes back to bed. Is that strange behavior for an 8-year-old? I don't know what to do for him.
It's not strange behavior. It sounds to me like he's insecure and a bit on the anxious side.
Mm.
And so you need to constantly reassure a little bit that mommy and daddy are here. We love you very much. You must go about your daily activities as normal.
Yeah.
Do not cater and cave in to this neediness of his because it will only make it much worse. Now, if it doesn't go away in another 6 months, you might want to consult a professional here to see if there's some excessive anxiety driving this behavior. The interesting thing is that he's coming into the room 4 or 5 times a night to touch mommy.
Just to, I suppose,
to make sure she's still there. That's the part that concerns me because he's waking up obviously anxious. Who knows what's going on in his head? You might ask him, by the way.
Yeah.
Are you worried about mommy? What are your worries, et cetera? And see if we can get to the bottom of it that way. Let's leave it alone in the short term. continue on carrying your duties and responsibilities as necessary. You might want to train him to knock on the door or maybe lock your bedroom door at night. I don't know if that might not be a great idea.
That might distress him, though.
That might distress him even more. Let's see how this transpires over the next 6 months. If no change happens, and you've talked to him about this, because he's eight, so he can reason a certain extent with you. Find out what's on his mind. That's really important. What is it that's driving this behavior? There has to be some kind of thought process underlying this.
Mm.
And the thought process typically is something bad has happened to the parent. They're dead. They've gone away. They won't come back, etc. So some conversation about it with him, some reassurance, combined with some reality checking, like, well, what's the worst thing that could happen if you wake up at night and mommy isn't in the bedroom and she's downstairs in the living room instead, watching television because she couldn't sleep? Get him to kind of think through some of these scenarios and situations. If no change in 6 months, get to your GP, get a referral. Anxiety is easily dealt with in children, particularly at this age.
David in Dublin, not the David Carey, but this is a different David, says, I contacted your show last May with regards to the 7-year-old boy I found out I was the father of. I just want to thank David, as it's a few months past now and things are going so brilliantly. I've nurtured a great relationship with my son. He is such a great kid. We love spending time together and have a great time. I'm a father figure to him now. We are getting on so well, and I'm also his father when needed. Again, thank you, says David.
Well, so, you are nice most welcome, and that's a lovely story. Unfortunately, I don't remember the questioner at that time.
Neither do I, but that's showbiz. Sorry, David.
That's showbiz. Well, anyway, congratulations, and you're welcome.
And Aidan in Dublin says, we listen to the parenting slot on the way home from school weekly. My kids really enjoy it. Today, my 8-year-old asked, just how many kids does Sean actually have? Thinking all the questions were from his own life.
Well, you don't have to answer that question.
Yeah, the answer is way too many.
Yeah.
That's the answer. David, always a joy to have you
back. Thank you.
David Carey there. We're going to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering. Recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie.